Today on The Travel Guide.
Airbnb is about to make one baseball fan's dream come true, and Star Wars fans are going to be pretty happy about this big announcement from Disney. Details coming up.
We have a guest at 3:15 who will definitely make you a smarter traveler. Anita Dash is with us from the Sacramento Public Library, and she joins us to tell you how you can apply for your passport at the library on the weekend, no less.
Wow. As you know, we like to report on the entertainment world from time to time, and Tom and Steve LaRosa snared an interview with a rock and roll legend who will be playing in Sacramento next week. Who is it? You'll have to stay tuned until 3:35 to find out.
And at 3:15, we take you to Cincinnati, home of the biggest Oktoberfest celebration on the planet. Details on the country's largest chicken dance, which is part of the festivities, also included.
Rock and roll, Star Wars, chicken dances. Sounds like just another Sunday afternoon with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man on the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Tickets out on Route 66.
That's entertainment. With the show.
We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday, and thanks for taking a couple of minutes out of your day to join us. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com. It is up and working today. And
yay.
In fact, I see Mark had got a few enhancements.
It's not only is it working, but it's working better. There is all kinds of stuff here that wasn't here 2 weeks ago on our website. I mean, not only all the frequent flyer guys all have their own section where you can go to all of their blogs and stuff. We've got the cool stuff. We've got Save the Best for Last. We've got things to make you a smarter traveler. And wow, I mean, there's a lot of good content. TravelGuysRadio.com. If you can't find it there, they're packing tips for men. Renting a car under age 25 is possible, but pricey. So,
10 hotel booking mistakes that you don't know you're making.
Yeah, no, there's some pretty cool stuff here. So, Melissa Quinn, our webmaster, has done a lot of work, and because the site was, they were moving from one server to another, so I guess this was the time to do it all. Anyway, congratulations here. How are you, Mr. Romano?
Excellent. I am a little blurry-eyed. We got in kind of late last night after a Sports Leisure Vacations trip to San Francisco with
the family.
Oh, you
were on the ball game trip yesterday.
Yeah, we went to with one of your ball game trips. Had a wonderful time.
The Giants kicked some booty last night.
Yeah, yeah. It was that, of course, was the icing on the cupcake, to say the least.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's there's nothing like that. Speaking of baseball, we mentioned in the news there at the top of the hour, or in the headlines, the Boston Red Sox are doing something really cool. I guess that's part of the travel news, so maybe we should have
There's the travel news.
Don't even have
music.
To ask for it anymore.
Yeah, each Travel Guys radio show starts off with the travel news, and with that, here is Mark Hoffman. Mark, what
The Red Sox are offering, along with Airbnb, are offering one baseball fan and a guest the best baseball sleepover ever imagined. You can win the opportunity to spend the night in Fenway Park.
Awesome. You get to camp out right on the field?
Well, no, but you get to stay in a suite, and you get to have a party, and Curt Schilling is going to be your host. And if you're a baseball fan, you know that Curt Schilling is legendary when it comes to Boston Red Sox baseball. So it's on September the 2nd. They're opening the doors for the first ever sleepover at Fenway Park. So Airbnb is giving away to one fan the opportunity to stay. I got to tour Fenway with a group one time, and at a lot of ballparks, they're really picky about. I mean, in Baltimore, like in Camden Yards, they tell you if you step on the grass we're going to take you out.
Wow.
So if you just, so we're just telling you ahead of time, there's a guy with me here. If you step on the grass, he'll just come up and he'll just escort you out. There's no if, you know, there's no gray area. The groundskeeper does not want anybody stepping on his grass. In Boston, they took us around the stadium on the warning track in the outfield, and the tour guide says, go on out there and stand in center field where Fred Lynn used to stand. He says, really? Get a feel for what it's like to be in. So I'm a baseball fan, so naturally I took advantage of that opportunity and went out there and stood there. And of course, nobody came and no lightning struck me dead or anything like that. But so it's not surprising that Boston would think of the opportunity. And, you know, you going and staying in just any ballpark wouldn't necessarily matter. But going and spending the night at Fenway Park would indeed be a dream come true for a lot of baseball fans, probably this one included. All right, let's see. What else have we got in the news here? Uber on the brink of legal drama. Some drivers in, this is kind of interesting. Some drivers in San Francisco have sued Uber, claiming that some of the expenses that they incurred while driving should be reimbursed to them because Uber considers them a private contractor.
Right.
So these guys apparently are making some headway in their lawsuit, and Uber is desperately trying to keep it from being a class action suit, because if it's just an individual suit involving these guys, the decision will only involve these people. If it's a class action suit, then it will involve all Uber drivers all over the place. So this whole Uber thing, how this is all evolving is kind of interesting.
A couple of things about Uber. I got a bit of a travel news for you here.
Uh-huh.
Oakland and San Jose are going to allow Uber and Lyft access for a while to test it out. Said they're going to keep an eye on it for a few months and determine whether that is workable. And at the same time, I have a mini Vegas trip coming up, and checked my hotel and asked about transportation from the airport to the hotel. Uber, Lyft, not allowed at the Vegas airport.
And get this, in Honolulu, where I was last week, at the Honolulu airport, if you try to get Uber, there is one type of Uber car that you can get, but the other types you can't, and you're connected. Uber, when you try, Uber says, we're connecting you to a taxi company for a dollar. They're going to charge you a dollar and connect you to it. So how they've worked it out in Honolulu. So a lot of different patches.
Yeah, a lot
so
of different
dynamics. Well, I mean, it's going to be a few years, I guess, before this all kind of shakes out. All right, let's see. Disneyland and Disney World. Star Wars is coming to both a 14-acre Star Wars themed land. The largest land expansion for a single theme in Disney history is coming to both parks. It's going to be a couple of years before it opens. They bought the property in Anaheim. People have been speculating what might be going on over the last few months. They've been accumulating the property down there in Anaheim, and so apparently it's going to be, you know, there has been... What's the thing that's in Star Tours?
Star Tours and was part of Tomorrowland in Disneyland.
And they just did an update on that a few years ago, a serious update on that. So pretty soon you're going to have Star Wars. So George Lucas will be a permanent part of Disneyland forever.
That's going to be huge.
You're a Disneyland fan. Ever wonder? Here's a Smarter Travel article that just quickly talks about which is cheaper, Disney World or Disneyland. Now, they're not talking about airfares because that would depend on where you come from.
Right, you're talking about daily passes. I'd say they're probably pretty comparable.
Well, this was a family of four, and they included accommodations and meals and stuff like that. They concluded that if you didn't stay at a Disney property,
I'd say Florida.
Florida is $250 cheaper for a family of four to go on vacation there for a week.
Well, it's not in California.
If you stayed at a Disney resort, though, in Florida, it's $900 cheaper. Reason being, there are a lot more Disney properties in Florida,
there are
a lot more price points.
Right.
In California, there are fewer properties. The price points are very high.
They really only have three altogether, and they've got bunches of them in Florida.
So it sounds like it's a little cheaper to go to Florida, but you also have to put up with the humidity, and you're also in Orlando, so there you have it.
D23 is going on right now down in Disneyland. That's the big convention that they have at the Anaheim Hotel, and I'll see if I can get you some pictures for the website.
All righty. At Salt Lake City Airport was one of the first places, I remember this years and years and years ago when Western Airlines was still in business, to have a smoking room in the terminal.
Wow.
First one.
Mm-hmm. They give you smoking jackets to go with.
They had that room inside the terminal where you went. You could see it. You know, it was all smoked up and all the people were in there, you know, getting their nicotine fix. Well, and I always thought that was kind of interesting. That was very progressive at the time. Activist groups, here's a headline, activist groups push for smoking ban at Salt Lake City International Airport. So that's how far societally we have come in 30 years, is that now it's no longer permissible even to have a room to smoke inside the airport. It's, they're claiming that the secondhand smoke and the smell and all that kind of stuff is becoming an issue.
I think in Phoenix, if you want to smoke, they have a place outside the main gate. It's called the Dog Bone.
Really?
Dog Bone Boneyard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know where that is.
Where you can go and take your pet, and right there is the same place where you get to smoke. So.
All right, I got a few other little items here, but I'll set those aside, and we'll double back to them later on in the program. One thing I did want to mention, on our way in today, we went by. It was nice of you to pick me up this morning, Mr. Romano. I appreciate that.
Certainly.
And we went by John Holloway's new location over here on Howe Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And John had sent out an email. Holloway Travel Outfitters, who were also, they have an online business and also have a store over on Fulton Avenue. John's been in business for, a gazillion years. His mama did packing demonstrations when I was knee-high to a grasshopper in town. So John is having a moving sale, so go over and say hi to him. They're going to be moving over onto Howe Avenue very soon, just between Hallmark and Arden on Howe Avenue.
Just looks like right about across the street there from Harold Ford.
It's going to be a big store. So anyways, we'll have more details on that, I'm sure, later on. But point being that Holloway Travel Outfitters are having a moving sale. So go by and tell John hi and talk to him about his new store. And that is your travel news for today.
Coming up, Anita Dash joins us with the Sacramento Public Library. Some really good news for those of you that want to get a passport and you'd like to get it on the weekend. That's next here on the Travel Guys. On the boats, on the planes, they're coming to America, Mark.
What did I just hear, Tom Romano? I heard you while you were not on the radio, I think.
Yes.
I heard you doing something else. That's your real job when you're not in here on the weekends playing Travel Guy.
There you go. That's the real job.
Telephone company ballpark. All right. on the line is Anita Dash from the Sacramento Public Library. Hi, Anita.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Tom Romano is here with me.
Shh. Keep it down, Mark. We're in the public library.
Oh, Jesus.
That's fine.
Oh, goodness.
They get loud in the library these days, Anita.
It's true. We are not shushers anymore.
Really?
We're happy to have people speak when they want to.
Okay, so things have changed a little bit.
You know, I haven't been in a library. I have to confess this right here on the radio in front of Anita and everything, since she's our therapist at this moment in time. I haven't been in the library for probably 20 years. Last time I was in the Sacramento Public Library was when Sports Leisure Vacations held its 20th or 25th anniversary celebration in the library after hours one
downtown.
Night downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how long I've been. So the library's different now, you're saying?
Yes, things have changed, and we have a lot more to offer, and there's just a lot more to do. So I think it's definitely time you came back and got a card again.
Well, if you're going to start offering things like passport services...
I'm afraid to go back. I bet you I have... Don't look me up. I bet I have a book. It's overdue. What's the largest fine you ever assessed, Anita?
The largest one I've ever seen was... quite large. It was a couple hundred, but you know, the person found these lost books and then the fine dropped by hundreds.
Nice.
So there was a happy ending to that.
Don't if Romano comes in, just stick it to him. Don't feel like it. You need to, you know, don't give him any kind of celebrity discount or anything. Anita, it's the reason that we have you here on the radio, besides just to have fun, is because the public library, it has come to my attention for some time now, has been offering a service that is really of great use to travelers. You can apply for a passport at the library?
Yes, you can. We've had this service for a few years, and it's going very well. People are really happy to be able to come in, I think especially because we're open every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday, as well as Tuesday evenings. So people can come in without taking time off from work or missing any time away from school. So it's been very popular.
Now, do you have to schedule an appointment to do this, or can you just come in?
Well, we do recommend appointments just because we get so busy. That way we have time reserved for people and they don't have to wait. We do take walk-ins when we can in between appointments. But, you know, generally people make appointments and we just take everybody in turn and it goes very quickly.
Now, Anita, one of the things that I know from, we were just talking about our buddy John Holloway from Holloway Travel Outfitters, who for years took passport photos for people. And of course, cameras weren't digital then, and passport photo has always been a big deal because when you're renewing your passport, you need to get a photo. And I see here that you can get those photos taken at the library also for a very nominal fee.
Yes, that's right. We offer photos. We offer everything that a person needs to apply for a passport. So you can get your applications from us and your photos, and the entire processing can be done through our office.
So if you've never applied for a passport before, what do you need to bring with you when you go to get a passport?
I think that there are a few things that are very essential. One is proof of U.S. citizenship. So for people who were born in the U.S., that generally means a birth certificate. And for people who were not born in the U.S., that usually means a certificate of naturalization or a certificate of citizenship. So something that shows us that a person is a U.S. citizen.
Okay. And it looks like here on your website, and by the way, if you go to travelguysradio.com, we have links to the library and specifically to the to the part of the website. I see here you even have a passport checklist for people.
Yeah.
You have a link to the U.S. Department of State's website. So this is really a very good service. I mean, a good quality service. It's very complete. And the fact that people can come on Tuesday evenings and they can also come Friday during the day and then Saturday and Sunday, you also take appointments and walk-ins. Do a lot of people take advantage of the weekend opportunity?
Yes, our weekends are very busy because for people who have children, both parents have to be there with their kids. And so that way, people don't take time off from work and miss things that they need to do. So we see a lot of families come in on the weekends, which is a lot of fun.
Now, Anita, Sacramento Public Library is offering this service. Do you know of any other libraries in the area that do the same?
No, there aren't any other ones. In fact, none of our other branches do this yet. It's just our central branch library downtown.
Well, Anita, thank you very much for a few minutes of your time today. This really is a great service, and we're going to leave this link up permanently on our website because at Sports Leisure Vacations, it's one of the questions I get asked the most is where can I apply for a passport? In particular, where can I get the passport photos taken? And oftentimes, those are from folks who may not have the ability to be able to do those things on a weekday during the day. So the fact that the library has these services on the weekend and in the evenings is tremendous. Thank you for a few minutes of your time today.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good day.
All righty. Anita Dash from the Sacramento Public Library. Wait a minute. We have a caller on the phone here. Anita had kind of a British accent, didn't you? Did you know?
She did. I loved her tone.
Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, that was very nice.
And on the phone right now, all the way from across the pond, I believe. I say there, sir. Is this Mr. Whitehead on the phone?
It is indeed, and I am definitely across the pond. Greetings from London, England.
Wow.
That's impressive. We tried to call you earlier. We had no luck, but you managed to get through. Clayton, what are you up to?
Well, we just finished a beautiful dinner cruise on the Thames River in front of the Houses of Parliament and Big Ben and all the beautiful museums and monuments here. This is just such an amazing city. I have forgotten how amazing London is.
And you also, on this trip, you got out to, this is the Downton Abbey tour, so you made it out to Highclere Castle. So for all
Indeed.
The Downton Abbey fans who might be listening in, how did that go?
It was awesome. Of course, Downton Abbey is fictional. Sorry if that's a spoiler to anyone. But the real-life house where they filmed Downton Abbey is called Highclere Castle. It's about an hour and a half drive out of London. And we spent an entire day there going over the house and grounds. It's just an amazing family home, albeit a mansion. But the neat thing about it was it looked exactly like it did on television, with one big exception, and that is on every single horizontal surface, there was pictures of the Duke and Duchess of Cardigan and their beautiful three children. So, I mean, it was a castle, it's a mansion, but it was very much a family home as well. It was just a lovely, lovely day, and, of course, a wonderful opportunity to kind of be in the footsteps of our friends from Downton Abbey.
You've been in England now for a week or so. It's summertime. There's probably somebody listening to this radio program who is headed to England in the next few days or weeks. Anything, any up to the minute tips that you could give them about getting around, getting through, anything like that?
Just to know that the pound is worth about $1.60 U.S. So when you go to McDonald's and the full meal deal's £3, you think that's really a good deal, but it's really like over $5. So, I mean, literally, I mean, wherever you go, it just, you look at price tags, and of course, we're programmed to think of things in U.S. dollars.
You'd have to.
And you think things are a deal, and they're really, really
Tom,
not.
You'd have to know Clayton to know the significance of that particular.
I love McDonald's.
Oh my gosh. You went all the way to England
yeah.
so that you could go to McDonald's. No.
Well, I didn't come all the way here to go to McDonald's, but I will confess I have been twice.
All right.
Since I've been in England, but the point is that a pound is about $1.60. So things that seem like a good deal maybe aren't quite the deal you thought they were.
The dollar hasn't shifted as much against the pound as it has against the euro, and there's a bit of a difference there. So if you're going to London, it's not quite as advantageous. Before we let you go, Mr. Clayton, lovely Cindy is here to give us the news at the bottom of the hour. Before we let you go across the pond, anything else you want to share with folks back here in Sacramento?
Well, just a cheerio to everyone, I think. That's very, very, very British, don't you think?
All right. Safe travels home. Thanks for checking in with us from London, England. Clayton Whitehead on the Travel Guys. Thomas?
All right. We are the Travel Guys. Coming up after the break, we're going to visit with a rock and roll legend. We haven't told you who he is. If you went to our website, you would know. Stick around after Cindy has the news. You'll find out here on the Travel Guys.
Well, there's just a little bit of magic in the country music we're singing. So let's begin. We're bringing you back down home where the folks are happy. Sitting, picking at a grin. Casually, you and me will pick up the pieces.
Richie Foray, Poco. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, along with my buddy Steve LaRosa. Our special guest, Richie Foray, joining us here on the radio today with the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Richie coming to town just a week from now, August the 21st. Richie, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, good to be with you guys today, and thanks for having me on.
We're talking to Mr. Richie Foray today, easily one of the greatest vocalists in the country rock genre. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as well as the Colorado Music Hall of Fame. He was one of the original members of Buffalo Springfield. He started Poco. He then went on to form the Souther Hillman Furay Band. And when we talk about Buffalo Springfield, many rock writers have described it as the first super group. You had Richie Furay. You had Stephen Stills, Neil Young.
Just an outstanding band. Richie, tell us, how did it come about that you ended up singing on a lot of the Neil Young songs on those early Buffalo Springfield albums?
I think Neil was kind of put in a box. He's got a unique voice. There's no doubt about it. It's a little bit different. And back in the day, people, the record company was thinking that maybe that voice would not be embraced like he's proven it to be over the years. So I was also basically looked upon as being one of the lead singers, and I wasn't, writing any songs at the time, or at least any that were getting recorded, and so I kind of got to do some of Neil's songs. I'm really glad that I did.
Richie and the band are coming to Harlow's on Friday, August 21st. Doors open 5:30, show at 6:30. And, boy, we're going to be front row for that for sure.
All right.
Richie, tell us about coming out of the Buffalo Springfield. You found a way to take country music and rock music and really create a new sound with your new group, Poco, which included, a lot of people know, Jim Messina of Loggins and Messina, and then bassist Randy Meisner, who eventually went on to join the Eagles.
You know, I mean, it all started when I wanted to put a steel guitar on a song that really had a country flavor on the last Buffalo Springfield record called Kind Woman. And we got Rusty Young to play steel guitar, and that was just the beginnings of it right there. We just said, yep, this is the sound we're looking for. Let's go with it. So it was something that wasn't, I mean, it was planned, but it wasn't planned. And it worked out to the best, you know. Poco made some dynamite music over the years, and certainly we had an impact on a couple guys, particularly on Glenn Frey, who used to sit in my living room when I was rehearsing Poco. So he and then took my bass player Randy Meisner, and they took it to the limit.
You still bring that joyful noise, that rare experience between artist and audience that happens on stage. Man, how do you continue to bring it decade after decade after decade and with this love affair between you and your audience?
The band loves to do it, you know. And I also have to say that because we have, you know, I mentioned Scott Fellon a few minutes ago. His son plays bass in the band. And then my daughter, Jessie, sings with us in the band. So it kind of keeps us young. I think of us as a multi-generational band.
If you're just joining us, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. We're talking with country rock legend Richie Furay. We're talking with Richie Furay of Buffalo Springfield and Poco. He has a new CD out, the name of which is Hand in Hand. Let's take a listen to one of the cuts, which tells the story of Poco and the creation of country rock, entitled We Were the Dreamers.
We were the dreamers, shooting high for the stars, making rock and roll music, playing country guitars. We blaze a trail for generations to come. Yeah, we were the dreamers, just some kids having fun.
Yeah, just kids having fun. Richie, I tell you, you know, listening to the vocals on that, as we age, generally we start to lose a little bit of that tonality and the ability to hit some of those notes. But, buddy, you still got it going on.
You know, I'm so thankful for that, because I really do feel like my voice has gotten, it's aged pretty good, if I can say so. And I mean, I'm very humbled by that.
I noticed that your daughter Jessie's voice blends in so nicely with your voice, and it's reminiscent. I remember the local connection, our friend here from Sacramento, Timothy B. Schmidt, when he joined you, and I remember you in an interview saying how beautifully your two voices.
I marvel over the day, you know, because we did. We really sang really well together, and Jesse and I have that little special something. I guess it has to do with our DNA, but it's just so much fun to sing with my daughter, because she's just a really talented singer, and she harmonizes, and we blend really good together. So it's a lot of fun.
We're talking with Richie Furay. The band's coming to Harlow's on Friday, August 21st. Tickets available where, Stephen?
The easiest way to get tickets is to go onto this website of the promoter. It's Swell, as in S-W-E-L-L, dash. Don't forget the dash. Swell-productions.com. That's swell-productions.com.
Or to make it easy, go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll have a link to it there.
Let's get the place packed and jammed and come out and have a great time, huh?
We'll be there ourselves, Richie, so we're looking forward to it.
Can't wait to see you guys. Thanks a lot.
Awesome, buddy. Thank you so much and for the extra time, and we wish you well, and we'll see you in Sacramento on August 21st.
You got it, man. Thank you very much.
Wow. Is that not cool or what, Thomas? I mean, how did... By the way, if you go to travelguysradio.com, there's not only are the links to... not only can you get tickets, but just links to Richie's stuff in general, and there's a picture of him there. So for all you old rock and rollers who would like to know what one of your heroes looked like, that was a really cool interview.
Well, it was especially poignant for Stephen and I because we've followed Richie Furay and the Poco, and we mentioned his name in the interview, Timothy B. Schmidt. A lot of folks may know who he is. He's a Sacramento-based young man, bass player, who played with Poco in the early days, and two of the bass players from Poco that played with Richie went on to play with the Eagles. In fact, Timmy plays today with the Eagles. And a lot of what you hear in their music is an influence that Richie and his writing and styling brought their way.
Well, I hope folks who are Travel Guys listeners enjoyed that. We were sitting here talking. You know, we've had Lee Greenwood on this program. We had Barry Manilow on the program. So we're travel and entertainment and pretty much anything that comes along that we think you might find entertaining.
And a special thanks to Steve LaRosa for hooking this up because he did the heavy lifting to make this happen. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Marco, I know we kind of passed over some stuff when we were doing the travel news.
We got to take a break here now, but when we come back, we've got the folks from Cincinnati coming to tell us about their Oktoberfest. They apparently have a giant chicken dance as part of some really amazing activities that they have there.
You got some video on the website for that?
No, we don't have any chicken dance video. But anyway, more about the Oktoberfest in Cincinnati as we save the best for last. The Travel Guys rounding the bend and heading for the home stretch on KFBK.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Tom and Mark here. Hope you're doing well. Mark?
I'm having a lot of fun today. I hope people who are listening can tell that.
This is just
a fun program. I spent most of the week in Hawaii putting together the final touches on a Sports Leisure Vacation that's going to take place in November, and I'm going to bring Chris Galloway in next week to talk about it because he went to Kaupapa 2 days ago to the old leper colony
right,
on Molokai private tour. Didn't do the thing like you didn't take
didn't
the mule
take the
down
mule ride to...
but he flew in because you can fly in anyway.
Right.
We found stuff on Hawaii that you never even... We went to the land of Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, my gosh. You guys find stuff nobody has even heard of. Sometimes you find stuff that doesn't even exist.
Speaking of stuff that people haven't heard of very much and should hear of more, you know, in the Midwest...
Mm-hmm. Paint a picture for
me. In the Midwest,
Mark,
as the seasons change,
yes,
and September turns to October, folks in the middle part of the country tend to celebrate a particular holiday that's celebrated in Germany. There are a lot of German, you know, I'm a Hoffman with two N's.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my folks came across the country and kind of stopped about Iowa, and Ohio was one of the places that they passed through. And indeed, you know, when it comes to October in Germany, they think to beer, and they think to Oktoberfest, and they think to drinking, and they think winter is coming, and it's going to be long, so why not drink a lot? And this is what the people in Cincinnati think, too. They have a celebration that is second only to the original Oktoberfest in Munich. That's how big this is. So if you want to go to Oktoberfest, and you don't want to go all the way to Munich, you go to Cincinnati. And that's why we asked Cynthia Oxley, who is the Director of Sponsorship and Community Events for the Regional Chamber in Cincinnati. Hi, Cynthia.
Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good. How was that set up there? That was the longest introduction in history.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
You know what you need, though? You need a little special piece of music. Hold on a second. Not that one in the studio.
One yet, no.
This one. Da-da-dun, da-da-dun, da-da-dun. No, the beer barrel.
Oh, that's
poker.
The beer barrel. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Cynthia, you'll have to excuse us. We're having a rather strange day. Our therapist will probably need to speak to us both after the show is over today. Welcome to the Travel Guys. When we saw this the other day, and I thought, you know, Oktoberfest, those are a lot of Oktoberfest. They're a dime a dozen. But then I started looking around on the web about your Oktoberfest. This is a big deal.
It is huge, and we have a lot of fun. We get about 650,000 people in the heart of downtown Cincinnati on the city streets.
My gosh.
Celebrating, dancing, drinking. It's just a really fun weekend.
This is and Cynthia, I'm reading some of the press stuff here, description. The running of the Wieners is one of the events?
Yes, it's quite possibly one of the funniest things I've ever seen. We get 100 dachshund dogs. Yeah,
we didn't know where this was going.
I was almost afraid to ask you about that one, but 100 dachshund.
Well, it wouldn't be fun if it was called Running of the Dachshund.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, tell us more.
Well, we do. We have 100 dogs, and we do 10 heats of races. And you know, some of the dogs run, some of the dogs just look around, like what the heck's going on.
This is better than pig races.
We crown a champion at the end, and the owner could not be more proud.
Oh, how cute!
Wait a minute. This is the World Brat Eating Championship. So we're not just going with hot dogs like they do at Coney Island. We're going all the way up to brats now.
Yes, we go with the German Brat, and this is our sixth annual Brat Eating Championship, and you may this year just see a rematch of Coney Island where Joey Chestnut lost. Joey has won the Brat Eating Championship since we started it.
Now, is that the same person that won the hot dog contest?
He
traditionally does, but he did not win this year.
Okay. It's coming back.
Wouldn't a brat be harder to eat than a regular hot dog, though? Because a brat has a skin on it.
Yeah, it does have the skin on it. It is a little bit harder to eat, and they get a 10-minute window to eat as many as they can, and it's kind of disgusting.
I was just going to say, having seen the original, I can only imagine. Tom, here's something that you would probably like. At Cincinnati's Oktoberfest, they have the Steinhost Championship.
Awesome, yeah.
I'm guessing, is that raising who can raise their beer cup the best?
It's a liter stein full of beer, and there's a pre-competition where 20 finalists get to compete for a trip to Boston. They hold their stein out straight in front of them, and if you spill or shake or, you know, you just have to lower your stein because it's so heavy, the last one standing wins.
Oh, because how long you can hold the stein out without dropping or spilling?
If you've just tuned into the Travel Guys and you're wondering what in the world are these guys talking about, we're talking with Cynthia Oxley from Cincinnati about the nation's largest Oktoberfest celebration, which comes up. It's called Oktoberfest Cincinnati. How did it get that name?
Well, Cincinnati has a large German population, and I guess translated into German, Cincinnati.
There you go. Now, wait a minute. There's one event that we haven't brought up here that we teased at the top of the show, and I think we have a little musical accompaniment for this big deal. Part of the Cincinnati Oktoberfest is the world's largest chicken dance. Cynthia, tell us a little bit about the chicken dance.
Oh, it's crazy. We get a celebrity grand marshal to lead the chicken dance every year. We've had celebrities like Weird Al Yankovic. We've had Minnie Me. Last year we had Nick and Drew Lachey. We've had famous sports figures. And they literally get up on stage and lead 30,000-40,000 people in this dance.
Do you have a celebrity this year? Who is it?
We are not quite ready to announce that yet.
We were just hoping for a scoop here on the Travel Guys.
Okay, all right.
I'll let you guys know when it's confirmed.
Okay. Cynthia, if folks would like to go, we have a link on our website at travelguysradio.com to the Oktoberfest Cincinnati for more details about it. But if folks would like to come, is this something where hotels are expensive or anything, or is it just kind of a big local celebration that where everybody turns out and you could get into town? It wouldn't cost you a lot of money.
We have people from all over the country come. It's funny. I've been doing this for 15 years, and we have groups from Florida and Buffalo, New York, and California, and St. Louis, and they come every year. The hotels at this point are pretty tough to come by, but there's the way Cincinnati region is, there's hotels in northern Kentucky, there's hotels a little bit north of downtown. The downtown hotels might be full right by now, but there's plenty of hotel space right around the area.
Well, Cynthia, I think it sounds like a tremendous amount of fun. I'm really kind of sort of jealous because you guys, the running of the wieners, I think that is just,
I love it.
That is,
know,
that is, that
in
is
the, in the world's largest chicken dance. Now, is that something you're going to go for, like a Guinness Book of World Records thing?
We did years ago and won that record, and now we just have continued to call it the world's largest chicken dance. We don't.
I see.
We don't.
Once was enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Cynthia, thank you so much for taking time out on your Sunday evening live from Cincinnati to be a part of the Travel Guys. We appreciate it. If you're interested in the Oktoberfest called Cincinnati, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and we'll show you a link. Cynthia, one of these days the Travel Guys will come back and we'll be a part of the Oktoberfest. Thank you again.
Thank you. I was just going to say, come visit.
Awesome. Will do.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. We are the Travel Guys, traveling just about everywhere.
We've been just about everywhere. Let's see. We've been from the library to London, England. We've talked with rock and roll legend. We've gone to the... I'm in a daze, kind of, here. And we've still got 5 minutes left to go. And I got a bunch of junk sitting in front of me here and trying to...
Okay, a little business to get taken
what
care
do we
of
have
here
to do?
On the Travel
oh,
Guys.
Oh, listen, I want to tell you about something, since we're not, you know, the show that's about everything except travel. Yesterday in Richmond, they did something really cool. They created a Guinness Book of World Records for Rosie the Riveter.
Sure.
Did you hear about this? They tried to get as many people.
Richmond, Virginia?
No, Richmond, California.
Richmond, California, right across the bay.
Yeah, exactly, because that was where during World War II, a lot of the ladies
shipping
went to work, exactly, in the shipyards, and they had the red bandanas with the mm-hmm. polka dots and the blue rolled up sleeves and stuff. So people had to dress specifically in order to get the world's record to have the most Rosie the Riveters in one place at one time, and it appears as though they may have done it, actually. The record was 776, and they gave out 800 sold bandanas yesterday, so they're thinking that they may have broken the record. I just thought it was kind of cool. It was one day after the 70th anniversary of the Japanese surrender. They wanted to do it now because they didn't want all of the Rosies, the real Rosies, mm-hmm. to be gone, because, you know, they're getting up in years now. But I thought that was really cool, just down the road in our own state here. Okay, let's see. We need a Sports Leisure Vacations travel card winner.
Wait a minute now. You're not going to read my name there, because I was on a trip yesterday and I filled one of these out.
Okay, first of all, I don't mean to break your heart, but last night's entries are not in this week's draw,
next
because
week,
this
okay.
was already drawn. And right. second of all, the other thing I need to break to you is, because you are one of the Travel Guys, you cannot win a prize from the Travel Guys.
Ineligible once again, my life story.
The winner for this week, though, went to Beach Blanket Babylon with Sports Leisure Vacations last weekend, Judy Quarterman. Judy is a longtime Sports Leisure traveler. The jackpot is up to $300, Judy. So if you call the office Monday or Tuesday, you can claim a $300 travel card just for listening to the Travel Guys and traveling with Sports Leisure Vacations. I know we've mentioned this several times, but last week our website was down all during the show, and we kind of depend on that as a way to get our information out to folks. We tell you about things, and then if you want more information, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. So not only is all the stuff from this week there, there's all the stuff from last week there, and Melissa, our webmaster, has put all kinds of great stuff on the website that you really will find entertaining. What if you got on the... Yes, sir?
Oh, I just was going to say, I was looking at the Travel Guys, the entry form that people fill out on
uh-huh.
your trips, and
right.
I got a chance to see one for the first time yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and for our listeners, you'd enjoy seeing one of these. At the top it says, the Travel Guys on KFBK, and it's got the logo and a place to fill it out, and then in really large print it says, the fine print. And then it tells the one name will be drawn and announced and so on and so forth. But the fine print is actually pretty large print, and
yeah.
I thought it was very cute.
Well, that's because the man that owns the company now is getting old, and otherwise he wouldn't be able to read it. All right. If you were in the East yesterday, there were all kinds of technical delays out of Washington, D.C., flights all over the place. Hundreds and hundreds had to be canceled or delays. Little computer glitch. That's happening a lot now. Computer, not even just hacking things, but just, you know, the computer goes down, so suddenly a whole section of the country isn't going anywhere. The Senate is calling out the airlines on fees, and there was an Air Baltic flight where the crew got on and was drunk, but we'll tell you about that next week. It's kind of a funny story, but we are out of time, Mr. Romano. We have had a whirlwind great hour. Cindy is next with the news.
And next week on the Travel Guys, special guest who has been to Burning Man, a young lady who has been there 16 times.
It's the Burning Man program.
Yeah, we're going to talk to her about why you would do that and what's it like.
If you've never been to Burning Man, you have no idea what it is, make sure you listen to the program next week. Burning Man is really a Western institution. We'll see you next Sunday.